walking alongside God's Son. A simple, very practical individual who, like me, like us, clearly also put his hand up to follow Jesus. So this evening we're going to talk about a man, Peter. But he wasn't always a Peter, and he wasn't always a man. He started off his life as a boy, Simon. So a Jewish boy born in the first century, Jerusalem. And from the age of 5, we know from history that all Jewish boys from the age of 5 started learning the first 5 books of the Torah. They also took a second language, like I did when I was in Durban. My second language was Zulu. My third language was Afrikaans. So his second language was Hebrew. And his first language would have been Aramaic. In this life of the Jewish boy, the best boys were handpicked by the rabbi to become students and to learn from him. And this is the point where our not-so-bright guy, but like me, got to follow their parents' profession or trade, and Simon got fishing. My humble opinion, it's not a bad short straw to get. Simon had a brother, Andrew, as well. And we read in John 1 an interesting first encounter. Read with me John 1, 40 to 41. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, this is Peter, and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. "You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So here we see in this encounter, Jesus knows who he is. Can you picture this meeting? Jesus looked past the fisherman's exterior into the heart of a man and saw what he could become. When you or I start this journey with Jesus, he sees the same thing in us. So that was the first encounter. Let's look a bit at the next recorded one Jesus has with him. We go to Luke 5. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of a place, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Ish. Don't know about you guys. Anyone here a fisherman? One fisherman. Hey? Justin. Where's Eben? Come on, just because you fish with a spear and not a rod. So how do you guys feel when you go and spend a long time out on the water and you come back with nothing? And what about, like me, I've got a wife who will happily remind me it was never her expectation for me to come back with fish. And then we got our mates who at the next braai hear about our failed trip. And people start telling you how you should have, would have, could have. But instead of being in the miff tree, Peter perhaps internalized it. And we read something with a little bit of respect. You Afrikaans guys have the upper hand. Us English guys, we're not so good with respect. You guys have and tani flying all over the room. But in those days, Simon's default was respect. You hear that when he said, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large, verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." When was the last time you took correction and fell to your knees? Verse 9, for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Simon got a glimpse into his future, yeah? A fisher of men, leaving everything behind and following Jesus. Simon is about to witness Jesus doing what he asks all of us to do. He won't ask us ever to do anything he didn't demonstrate perfectly. Here he challenged Simon to drop whatever he thought or presumed or even had knowledge of and be obedient and watch the harvest, the fruit. Because we have the Bible, we can read the accounts. We get to witness Simon Peter doing life with Jesus for the next 3 years of his life. And we witness Jesus fish with people, see Jesus love on people, see Jesus bless people, see Jesus draw people to God, and see the power of God revealed in Jesus. You see, Simon knew who he was. Like us, we know who we are. Simon Peter knew his flaws even, his warts, idiosyncrasies and pimples, just like we do. However, Jesus saw something else, just like he sees in you now. What happens when we encounter the generosity of God, he gifts us. We deserve death. Paul says, the wages of sin, the consequence of our rebellion, is death. Yet in spite of what we deserve, we get the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you is of first importance, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. I will carry on. That he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The gift is one of restoration of relationship, forgiveness, and a connection to him again. It's here we come face to face with Jesus, to experience the generosity and fall on our knees and choose to follow him like Simon Peter. He knows our hearts, what we have done, our shortcomings, and the good news is he loves us anyway. Amen? Trust him, surrender, and he will grow us up and become the person we were always meant to be. This is Simon and how his discipleship began. If you want to know more, and jump ahead. I use the word cheat. My wife says, don't use the word cheat. But if you want to know more and jump ahead and see how it ends, read 1 Peter and 2 Peter. The same guy, matured in Christ, and believe it. There's another encounter, Matthew 14. You can bring that up, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I read this and I wondered, how do I deal with my big heart and my little faith? We read here of an imperfect disciple and a leader in training, Simon Peter. Is this where I am? My failure is not the end, though. It is what I will do to correct and grow, that I remain open to the things of God. Can we relate? Have I dared taking my eyes off him and instead looked at the storm around me again, falling below the waves? We see with Peter, Jesus doesn't actually challenge his choice, the getting out of the boat part, but rather challenges his thoughts after he makes the decision. Jesus sees straight to his heart. You see, Peter considered two ways, not one. He sinks because he was not only seeing Jesus as the only solution. He got distracted by fear, the effect of the wind on the water. Trials will always be here with us. An airlift is not always possible. We need to cry out to him, shouting, "Lord, save me." Obedience was a foundational call from Jesus to Simon Peter. It is almost certainly risky. You want to walk on the water? You have to get out of the boat. Robin Yohan coming onto eldership, now starting to preach. You see them stepping out of the boat. Our deacons releasing safe communities they used to for a different call, stepping out of the boat. New community leaders coming on because of the stepping out, them stepping out of the boat. Christian and Nikki, not here tonight, leading kids' church, stepping out of the boat. Worship team exploding with new additions, stepping out of the boat. Many of you putting up your houses for fellowship, stepping out of the boat. My call for us as a congregation to prayer hubs, praying in each other's homes, stepping out of the boat. Back to Peter. Did you see a 10 on Peter's forehead? Or did you cancel him as someone we know as having little faith or doubt? How do you recall this story? One thing is clear. The rest of the disciples didn't move. They stayed in the boat. Are you still in the boat? We know, keep our eyes fixed on him. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, that they will not grow weary and lose heart. Stay focused on the one that can save us. Focused and be consistent. What has distracted us so much to take our eyes off him and his command to us? We read a while ago at the start of the Love series, to live holy lives and to love one another. How do we get back on mission? Great question, Nigel. We pray. Come join one of our prayer hubs. We'll post on the bigger group schedules again for you to have a look at if you missed the initial postings. And then let's pray as a church that we unite and become one heartbeat. I love the way we finish worship. Sing with me. And we all sing together. Pray the elders. Pray for the elders and the deacons' unity. Pray for the leaders. The elders, deacons, and leaders' unity. Pray for the saints, you and me. All of us united in God. All eyes on him. Pray into how we become unified, into how we serve together. Then my last encounter I wanted to look at today, Matthew 16, 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And here we see Simon step out of the boat with boldness, answering first. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you," and now it's a "you are," "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And here we see Jesus affirm Peter and give him his name. I don't know what I touched, but that went all the way to the top. Some points to land with. Jesus met, and I want to say, once Simon, now Peter, where he was at, fishing. Once Simon, now Peter, responded by dropping what he was doing and walked in obedience. Once Simon, now Peter, continued to step out of the boat and learn from his failures. Once Simon was passionate and imperfect. Once Simon stumbled as a Jesus follower doesn't cancel his identity in Christ. In Revelation 2:17, we read, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who deserves it, receives it, sorry. Did you know that there's a new name waiting for you as well? A name that represents the change Jesus has brought about and wants to bring about in you. You see, God does not see you as the world sees you. He has a plan for you. What do you suppose your new name is? Do you even know the Father that wants to give it? Have you accepted Jesus into your life? Now I ask you to close your eyes. A scene by a lake. Picture yourself with Jesus. What is he calling you to become? Might your life-changing journey be starting today? Drop what you are doing and trust him. All in. For those that don't have this relationship with Jesus, put your hand up. Accept Jesus into your life. Deacons and leaders will come pray for you. If that's you, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, thumping in your chest, don't leave it. All eyes are closed. For those already following, what was your beach moment? What has he done in your life? How have you grown in him? There is more. There is more growth to come. There are new discoveries, new relationships. What were you asked to leave behind? And what are you still holding on to? See Jesus standing before you and lay it down at his feet once and for all. Thank you, Father. I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to dance and sing to your face. I thank you for Simon, Father. But I'm so grateful that he stepped out of the boat and became Peter. I pray for those in the congregation still sitting in the boat, Father. Having received you, but still needing to step out of the boat. I pray for those new names. When I say that, I pray for the will of God on your life become evident. I pray that we become a people that walk in the thing that God has for us. I pray right now, Father, for those who bought something they were holding on to and released it, that they are free of it. Come encourage them in that, Father. And for those who are still resistant, still need time to process, Holy Spirit, don't leave them, King. Don't leave them alone to their own thoughts, to push it down, push it aside again. Let this be a moment where we get to remove that rock out of our satchel forever. And with a slightly lighter step, with less burden, Father, let us be a people who see the future, You hear the future spoken into our ear where you are directing us. I thank you for the life of Simon Peter, Father. I thank you for the life of each and every person here tonight. I pray that not one life goes wasted. I pray that the journey of sanctification, the walking out of our faith, goes well. I thank you, King, for your mighty name. Amen.